You're listening to Sports Radio Detroit.
Welcome in to Lions SRD right here on Sports Radio Detroit. We're back for another week, and we're back to discuss another L as the Lions took the loss to the Minnesota Vikings this weekend, 24-9 in Minneapolis. And, well, if there was any hope that this team could possibly make the playoffs, that is well and gone at this point. Jeremy Stover alongside Jamie McTaggart as we will break down last week's game against the Vikings, talk about some staff changes that were made this week, and pretty much anything else that we need to just kind of vent about as the Lions are giving us another disappointing season in 2018. Jamie, how's it going?
Well, it's going better than it was Sunday when I wanted to throw things and scream and swear. That was a really awful game.
Yeah, and I, if we're being completely honest, I actually did not get to watch most of it. I had a odd Sunday wedding, so I actually did not get to see a lot of the game. I did get to go back, watch a lot of the highlights, and it still kind of kept
there were
on
highlights?
From my...
They found highlights to play?
Well, there weren't many Lions highlights, but no, so I really didn't get to see much of the game, which sounds like a very good thing for me. I can tell you, though, that the Lions pretty much up and down the board just really did not have one of their better performances. Matt Stafford had under 200 yards. He got sacked 10 times on the day. Kerryon Johnson didn't get much going on the ground. He had 12 carries for 37 yards. None of the receivers really did anything spectacular. And I'm, you know, pretty much on the opposite side of things on defense, you know, Snacks Harrison led the way in tackles again. Outside of that, really not much.
He had the interception.
Yes, Darius did get an interception on the board, and Zeke Alonso, who hasn't really played much at all this year, did get a sack, so hopefully that'll put
and
some money
to
in the bank for
him. Uninjured for the entire game.
Right. Well, you know, when you miss
half the season.
You know, the weeks two through, you know, whatever, I hope you're healthy when you come back and you stay healthy. So, but Jamie, I mean, the biggest stat that just kind of jumps off the board at you is the total number of sacks that Minnesota is able to get on Matt Stafford. I mean, 10 sacks, that's almost unheard of. You know, and the offensive line, you know, they're starting to get a little banged up. You know, we've seen TJ Lane's been in and out of the lineup, and, you know, TJ's obviously one of the veteran, better linemen that the Lions have. So him being out of the lineup certainly hurts, and especially mid game too. You're bringing in a fresh body who's, you know, probably not used to playing with the other four guys. So, but that's no excuse. I mean, there literally is zero excuse for 10 sacks.
No, he was Matt Stafford. To me, looked like a rookie out on the field. Like he didn't know what to do when his line couldn't hold the defense. He was holding on to the ball too long. He was making really bad decisions when he was throwing, which was rare. He did that awful backwards pitch to Kerryon Johnson, who looked completely unprepared for a pitch coming at him, and it ended up giving the Vikings another touchdown because it was just so poorly executed. He did not look like a 10-year veteran and somebody who has played behind a very bad O-line for 10 years. It's like he forgot everything he had learned every previous year and just fell apart. He was horrendous.
Yeah, he's not been very good this year, and that might be putting it a little subtly as well. You know, he's had his moments, as he kind of has throughout his years, but he just doesn't have games where you look back at it and you think, wow, that was quite a performance from number nine. I mean, he just does not put a four-quarter game together, and that's, you know, that's upsetting coming from a guy who's, what, you know, 10 years deep into the league. You know, he's certainly proven to us that he can have those moments where, you know, man, he looks like a top five quarterback in the league, but, you know, far too often does he prove throughout the season that, You know, he's more in that 10 to 15 range where, you know, he's good enough to where you're going to keep him, but he's not good enough to where he's going to lead you to anything, especially in a place like Detroit where, you know, the Lions have never really had a team around him. You know, maybe stands a year or two here or there in his career where, you know, he doesn't have to step up and make the plays and have the games where, you know, he looks like a top five quarterback in this league. I mean, pretty much all throughout his career as a Lion, he's never had one of the better offensive lines. He's never had one of the better running games. You know, the defense has been spotty here and there. I mean, he's in a situation, he's in a city where he's got to be the guy. You know, he has got to be the leader and the quarterback that every team wants and every team needs to reach the playoffs. And he just hasn't been that. And you're at the point where he's 10 years deep in the league. He's 30 years old. He just got this massive extension that, you know, you could debate all day whether he deserved or didn't deserve, but neither here nor there, he did get it. He's at that point in his career where, you know, you really start to think to yourself, is he ever going to be that guy? I mean, is he ever going to be the quarterback that Lions fans just yearn for, where you don't have to worry about him going into a big game? You don't have to worry about, hey, we got Matt Stafford back there. You know, as long as everybody else does their job, as long as the defense plays even average, we're going to be okay because we have number 9 back there and he's going to lead us to a win. He's never been that guy, and now you're starting to wonder, is he ever going to be that guy?
Right, and the big thing is he's proven that he knows that Detroit is looking at him as the guy who stands up and takes control of everything. He's come out and made big statements. He came out and stood up for Jim Bob Cooter and, you know, really said he really wanted him back. And that's what really frustrated me more than anything else, is that people were saying, well, it's not all on Matt Stafford. He had an awful O-line. You know, Cooter's play calling is awful and everybody knows what's coming. Well, he owns Jim Bob Cooter at this point, to me. When you come forward and you speak up for somebody and you stand up for them and you request them to keep their position, you own their performance as well as your own at that point. That's what it's like in the real world with your job. That's what it's like anywhere. He owns Cooter's performance as well as his own at this point. So if Jim Bob Cooter isn't cutting it, Matt Stafford isn't cutting it either. And that was a decision he made, and he wanted to be on the record, and he wanted to be that go-to guy that makes those kind of calls and really stands up and is the leader of this team. And then he just can't handle it. He can't maintain the performance that you want to see out of him. And then you have his wife going off on people because they're calling him out for his poor performance. And that's endearing to a point, but at some point she's got to realize this man's getting paid a lot of money to make a lot better decisions than he did on Sunday. He looked like a rookie. And there's no time and no excuse for a 10-year vet to look like a rookie on a field, ever. It was ridiculous. He played awful. His decision-making skills were horrendous. And he did nothing that was redeemable in the entire game. There's not a single thing you can watch that game and be like, oh, look, Matt Stafford did something good. No, because it didn't exist. And you cannot have a 10-year veteran quarterback who is supposed to be leading your team, who has showed that he is okay with having that leadership role, go out there and look like absolute garbage like he did. It's not acceptable. And he needs to own it.
No, it's certainly not acceptable. And you know what, the Kelly Stafford thing coming out, I'm not going to sit here and get too much into that. It's something you can kind of see both sides of it. I mean, you know, obviously from a fan's perspective, it's kind of like, you know, come on, how do you sit here and say, you know, complain about the media and the fans getting on it, but, you know, on the other side of it, it is his wife. You know, she is going to be the most supportive person, you know, around him. So I see
so
both sides.
That's why I said it's endearing to a point, but
right. I mean, would you like her to kind of keep quiet on the matter? Yes, but do you get why, in a way, she's not? No, and Kelly Stafford has a history of that, so it's just kind of who she is, and the way that Stafford is, it's just kind of who he is, and you know, you hear about it a lot on the sports talk radio, it's just, you know, him getting ripped on for not showing more passion, showing more of a desire to win, and showing more, you know, accountability to a degree. It's just kind of who he is, and you're going to love him or hate him for it. And when you lose, more people are going to hate you for it. When you win, more people are going to love you for it. And it's, you know, we've talked about how long he's been here. He's been here 10 years. It's who he is. I mean, at age 31 in his 11th season, do you really think he's going to change? Probably not. So you just have to hope that his performance on the field, you know, shows up, and more, you know, the odds are it's probably not. And that's where we're at. And that's the problem the Lions are in, because you got a guy who has all the talent in the world. You know, he's got more talent than most quarterbacks in this league, but he just doesn't show up. He doesn't show up when you need him to. And that's the problem, because when you got a guy who has the talent, you almost have to hang on to him. You know, in a league like the NFL, where if you don't have a quarterback, you're dead. I mean, you're dead out of the gate. So, it you know, for Lions fans, it's tough because you want to get rid of him, and everybody says trade him and just get a bunch of picks for him. But then it's like, you know, you see it year after year after year. You know, these quarterbacks get taken in the first, second round, and then they don't pan out. I mean, would you rather have Jameis Winston right now? Would you rather have Mariota right now? You can go up and down the list of guys you'd rather not have than have for Stafford. But the problem is after 10 years, it's just so frustrating that he just can't seem to find a way to get the job done.
Right. And it would be less frustrating if he hadn't shown that he's willing to take that responsibility on his shoulders. Because you see quarterbacks that, you know, play with more star players. You know, they don't want to be the star on the team. They don't want to be the savior of the team, if you will. But he's shown that he's comfortable with that. So he really needs to step up and own it. And we are stuck with him. I mean, nobody's going to trade for him with that contract, the way he's been performing. And so we will probably end up paying at least part of his salary for the rest of his contract, even if we were to trade him. And then that cuts down your availability to sign somebody else who could be a competent quarterback.
Right. You know, the possibility would be, I mean, he could get traded, I think, you know, maybe in a year or two. And obviously, you know, the better his performance gets, the better, you know, trade value he has. But I definitely wouldn't sit here and, you know, not to divert to a different sport, but it, you know, to me, it's not like Blake Griffin with the Pistons. I feel like the Pistons, from that standpoint, you're stuck with him. Like, no one is literally going to take that deal. Like, everybody's surprised you took that contract. With Stafford, it's different because he's a quarterback. He's an above average quarterback. And once you get a couple years down the line, that contract's not going to look quite as bad as it did when he signed, because Aaron Rodgers is going to get a new deal. Matt Ryan's going to get a new deal. You're going to see, you know, Cam Newton, Jared Goff, you know, Carson Wentz. You're going to see these new guys get more money than him. And so I think in a couple years, his money won't look as bad. It's just, will his performance, you know, raise the trade value? But again, that just brings you back to the same old question, is if you trade him, and even if you do get a couple first round picks, a couple high round picks, what are you going to do if your quarterback that you drafted doesn't pan out? You know, then you're going to look like an idiot because you got rid of a guy who, while he's not great, he's above average, and now your new quarterback, whoever it may be, sucks. You know, you trade Stafford and end up in like a Ryan Leaf situation, fans are going to go nuts, and you're going to get laughed at, and that's just going to set you back at least another 5 years. You know, because like I said, you don't have a quarterback in this league, you're dead. Like, you're dead on arrival. You know, you look at all the teams at the bottom of the standings in the NFL year in and year out, most of those teams don't have a good quarterback. You know, so that's a slippery slope, and that's tough to just, you know, to actually pull the trigger. You know, if you're Bob Quinn or any GM out there, to actually pull that trigger and say, we're going to trade our franchise quarterback, that's not easy. And that's a trade that would get you fired if it don't work out. Like, that's an easily fireable offense if that don't work out. So while I definitely don't think they're ever going to trade Matt Stafford, I would never say never, especially with him being a quarterback. And he definitely, you know, as long as he stays healthy and, you know, stays performing at least at what he is now, if not better, hopefully better, he definitely still has quite a few good years left in. I mean, you know, and I know this is the, you know, this is the exception to the rule, but look at Tom Brady. I mean, he's, you know, he's 42, 41 years old, and he's still out there at least, you know, playing very, you know, and he's playing well. So,
right, but he's avocado ice cream and stuff like that. Do you really think that Matt Stafford's out there eating avocado ice cream so that he can keep himself going till 40? I hope not, because really that's just gross, and Tom Brady might be a robot.
But you know what? If I got paid $25 million a year to eat avocado ice cream, you bet your ass I'd do it. So money talks, and that's, and you're starting to see the younger guys now, you know, while they might not all be eating the avocado ice cream, they're probably definitely watching their bodies a lot more so they can play at a higher level when they're older, just so they can keep getting that money. Because, you know, when that money stops and those checks stop coming, you know, life hits you pretty hard. You know, I mean, we've, you know, and this goes for all sports, we've seen it time in, you know, time again and time again. You know, a lot of these players don't know how to handle that kind of money. I mean, a lot of people don't probably know how to handle that kind of money. So when, you know, when you're making $10, $15 million a year, and then you hit 33 years old and you're washed up and nobody wants you anymore, and that check goes away, that changes things a little bit. So, but no, just kind of getting back to it. No, he's got to be a lot better. And you wonder what it is, you know, and one of the plays that obviously sticks out from the Minnesota game was the pitch to Kerryon Johnson that, you know, Kerryon wasn't ready for, and Minnesota picked up the ball, picked up the fumble, and ran it back in for a touchdown. And, you know, if you were on Twitter at that moment, which I was, everybody just was livid at Stafford about it, you know, just what a bonehead play it was and all that. I'll be honest with you. I'm going to be the different one here. I actually didn't think it was that dumb of a play, per se. I just think it was more poorly executed, because when I looked at that, and again, I wasn't really watching the game live, but I, you know, trust me, there are plenty highlight reels of that play specifically after that play happened. Kerryon was kind of looking at him like he was going to pitch it to him. And Kerryon was kind of, my thing with that is, and obviously you know, the safest thing would have been for Stafford to just slide and give up on the play, especially when you've been, you know, sacked as many times as he probably had going into that play. But Kerryon wasn't like looking like he was going to get up and go block for Stafford. You know, he kind of was like following him in that position where he was going to receive a pitch. And he was kind of looking at Matt like, you know, hey, I'm here if you need me, except he wasn't really ready. So that's why that play, I mean, obviously it's a dumb play. At that point in time in the game, you should just slide and give up on the play. I fully agree with that. I'm not saying Stafford was right to pitch it to Kerryon or attempt to, at least. I just didn't see it as that dumb of a play, I guess. I don't know. I'm sure your thoughts are in the majority.
My thoughts are very different, because at that point, we had seen that he wasn't getting anywhere with any yardage. Kerryon wasn't getting anywhere with any yardage. They were stopping him pretty much dead to rights right away, too. He was three steps from being out of bounds. He had actually gotten back to the line of scrimmage, and then he pitched the ball backwards to somebody who really didn't have any room to run if he had gotten the ball. He was close to the sidelines, too. The entire play was pushed that way. At best, he could have made it to the line of scrimmage just with the way the play was playing out. It was just poorly executed, and the way the entire game had been going, he should have known that there was no gain for pitching it backwards. It really was not going to help the team out at all. And it really hurt the team in the end, because that was on top of it just being another touchdown that just kind of added to it, it really was any sort of possible momentum killer. Like, there was no coming back from that point.
No, definitely not. So, but all right, we'll move on from the game, and we'll get into some stuff that happened midweek. The Lions did fire their special teams coordinator this week, Joe Marciano, I think his last name.
I think that's how you pronounce it.
obviously it really doesn't matter anymore. And nobody probably knew who he was to even start. So, so they fired their special teams coordinator. Special teams, surprisingly, has probably actually been the worst position group of the three of them, offense, defense, and special teams. They've committed like 15, 16 penalties on special teams this year already, which is an alarming number. God, the punter, why does his name escape me? Sam Martin has been not good, to say the least, this year. I think he's averaging like 39 yards per punt. That's certainly not what you want out of a guy who's been to the Pro Bowl before.
They're generally been pretty automatic for us.
Yeah, he's been one of the better punters in the league up until this year. Their coverage teams have been pretty bad. I think they've given up a couple touchdowns so far. I mean, Matt Prater's been solid. You know,
yeah,
I think Prater's like
been...
six. Yeah, he's. I think he's 16-19 on the year, and two of his three misses were plus 50 yards. So, no, Matt Prater has certainly not been a problem. But no, special teams has been a big problem. So, they let him go today or a few days ago. And you know, speaking of staff changes, and you kind of brought it up earlier, they're really the other one that everybody's just kind of more so waiting on than hoping for is Jim Bob Cooter. I don't think they're going to get rid of JBC mid-season. I mean, unless it just goes completely sideways the rest of the year. But I don't think they're going to make the change mid-season. I think that's going to be a off-season change. I mean, if they do it at all, I mean, it's looking like it. They're going to. But, Jamie, I'm not sure how you feel about that. I mean, is it almost certain that he's going to get fired? And when do you think that'll happen?
I would be surprised if they didn't do it after this week. I would be surprised if it happens mid-season at all. Because, for one, at this point, what's the difference? Take him, let everybody know every play we got, finish last, get some good draft picks, whatever, because we're not making it to the playoffs in a trash NFC North, which is crazy because it was expected to be a pretty good division, but it's been awful so far. In a division that stinks, we are pulling up the basement to try to get lower somehow. And so why? Why cut him mid-season and then try to scrounge up somebody else who's not even a coordinator right now, because you can't really steal from somebody mid-season. So you'd have to either go off your existing coaching staff or bring in somebody who's not currently coaching in the NFL. And honestly, if he could survive that performance on Sunday, I don't see what's going to really get rid of him before the end of the season. But I do feel like he was given that short leash. I think that if Matthew Stafford hadn't come forward and spoken up for him this offseason, he probably wouldn't have been kept. I think that was a kind of placating move to try to keep the offense feeling somewhat secure in a very change-heavy offseason. And I think that he had to prove himself, and I think he's failed to do that this season pretty much at all.
Right, and yeah, I mean, if they were to get rid of him mid-season, the big question obviously would be, well, who's going to replace him, especially with Patricia being a defensive guy? I don't think he would take over play calling duty.
Right.
Generally, the man who does take over is the quarterback's coach. For the Lions, that would be George Godsey, who is he's in his second season with the Lions as the team's quarterback coach. Oddly enough, Godsey was with the Houston Texans prior to the Lions, but before he was in Houston, Godsey was a coach at, surprise, surprise, the New England Patriots. So obviously he has some ties with Patricia and Bob Quinn. There's no shock there. I mean, I would assume by the start of next season, half the damn roster will be from the New England Patriots. So,
or Syracuse.
That's
one of the
two. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know if he would be the guy. I don't know who else would really take over. I mean, obviously not that it would completely matter all
right.
that much, because you fire JBC, you're trying to lose. You know, at that point, you fire two coordinators in the season, you're trying to lose. One thing that I did read that does kind of make me hope to a degree that they don't fire Jim Bob Cooter quite yet. and I forget who wrote it, but somebody wrote that it might actually help if Patricia doesn't fire him mid-season, because then it would, that would really signal that, you know, Patricia doesn't have any control over the team, that, you know, all hell's broken loose, that, you know, all hope is kind of lost, and just kind of show the dysfunction of the organization, which, I mean, it's the Detroit Lions, dysfunction is part of their fabric, but it just wouldn't help things, especially when the Lions are trying to, you know, kind of usher in a new era, bring in a new regime and whatnot. So that's kind of why I don't think they're going to fire him. And to a degree, you know, as a Lions fan, I kind of hope not. But, you know, at the same time, I'm team tank. So whatever helps them lose is what I'm for.
Especially at this point in the season, you kind of have to be team tank. I mean, it's not going to be fun to watch them lose every game. But really, there's no point in winning at this point. We're not going to get better draft pick out of it. We're not going to suddenly make it to the playoffs unless something happens and half the NFL disappears overnight. So you got to be team tank. I mean, the hope is that you have a better team next year, and you got to do what you got to do to get that better team next year.
Right. So, and obviously going forward, we'll certainly get into some draft talk as the season progresses on. All right, so let's look ahead to this weekend's game. They are at Chicago, 1 o'clock on Fox. no Darius Slay or T.J. Lane at practice today. It's kind of looking like T.J. Lane's probably not going to play this week. Darius Slay, I would assume, is, but you know, you'll have to keep an eye out on that. Khalil Mack will be in the lineup for the Chicago Bears, so that obviously is not good for the offense and Matt Stafford. But you know, the Chicago, right, especially with TJ out. You know, the Chicago Bears, though, they've won their last two coming into this one, albeit it was against the Jets and the Bills, two awful teams. The Lions obviously struggling coming into this one. And Chicago, you know, this is a game that Chicago needs to win. They're kind of tied with the Vikings right now, leading the division at 5-3. The Vikings are at 5-3-1 as Green Bay starts to kind of tumble down the hill with Detroit. But Jamie, this is almost kind of a must win for the Bears. They're favored by 6.5, which is kind of a lot in the NFL. Chance that the Lions actually pull this off, I would assume for you, it's got to be close to zero.
Yes, which is exactly why it's possible that the Lions actually pull this off. I mean, every game that we've thought that they had zero chance of winning, they've somehow won. So you got to hedge your bets a little bit with that, because it's quite possible that some miraculous version of the Lions shows up on Sunday and manages to beat them. But with Lang out and Mack in, it kind of sounds like it's prime for slaughter, really.
Yeah, and the Bears have put up 24 points in each of their last five games, and they've put up over 30 in four of those five games, albeit not great competition they'll see all season long. But no, for the Bears, this is certainly a must-win for them. You know, their schedule is it's certainly easier than the Lions will get, but, you know, they still have a couple tough games on their schedule too. They got the Vikings twice left. They still play Green Bay. They still bring the Rams into Chicago, so at least they get them at home. So everything's right there for the Bears. So there's absolutely no reason for them to go out and sort of take charge of this division. They get the Lions and Vikings at home in back-to-back weeks, and then they travel to Detroit for the annual Thanksgiving matchup in a couple weeks. So these two teams will see each other again real soon. But no, I don't, logic tells you the Lions aren't going to win, but somehow the Lions might win. I mean, I kind of thought that last week. I thought the Lions would go out there and get the W, and obviously they didn't, because, you know, logic actually played a factor. But I'm going to pick the Bears. I mean, I don't see how you don't. You know, the Bears are just kind of a better team right now. They're playing really well right now. They got some confidence in them. That offense has really been coming alive with Matt Nagy in his first year as head coach. So, no, I think the Bears are going to win. And unfortunately, especially with Khalil Mack coming back and T.J. Lang probably being out, I think the Bears are going to kind of handle them pretty easy. I might, you know, if I was a betting man, I would probably actually take the 6.5. that the Bears are giving him. I think you're looking at probably like a 31-14 type of game here.
I would say that's pretty easy to bet on, because the other factor is that they are playing in Chicago, which is an outdoor stadium, and there's supposed to be a pretty decent storm all weekend hitting the Great Lakes, Lake Michigan area. A lot of lake effect snow, super cold temperatures. The Lions do not play well in those conditions, historically speaking. So it'll be, everything is primed for it to be a really, really bad massacre.
Right, right. Yeah, the Lions, especially Matt Stafford, don't seem to do well outdoor in the colder temperatures. Couple roster notes before we wrap up here. Amir Abdullah was released and picked up by the Vikings because, of course, he was. So he's no longer with the squad. But then, you know, they brought the band back together and they re-signed Zach Zenner. So, because why wouldn't they? You know, he worked out the first time so well, so they might as well bring him back and go for round two. So,
really,
you know, those are moves.
Under tackles, so maybe.
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, he
that's
is
about his strong point. He can duck under tackles.
Yeah, so, but neither of those moves, I don't think, are really going to impact the team going forward. Abdullah is never going to, you know, mount up to much in Detroit, and Zenner, you know, Zenner is what he is. I mean, he's okay. But all right, so that'll do it for us on Lions SRD. A bit of a shorter show today. We'll try and extend that next week, and hopefully the Lions will extend their losing streak this week, and they'll fall to, you know, three games in a row. Lions 3-5 will head to Chicago this weekend to take on the 5-3 Bears, looking to keep a stronghold on the NFC North. Also in the division, I believe the Vikings are on a bye. They are. Green Bay brings in Miami at 4:25 on CBS, so should be a easy dub for the Packers there. Don't forget to go to sportsradiodetroit.com. Check out all of our latest content, written content, and shows. Don't forget to go to Podbean, Stitcher, or the iTunes podcast app to check out all the latest shows of Lions SRD and all the latest shows of all of our other great shows on the SRD network. Jamie, any final words as we wrap up?
If you really like snow football, this is going to be the weekend to see some snow football. So, enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah, especially up in your neck of the woods where it's, you guys are supposed to get quite a bit of snow. It'll be nothing much else to do besides sit inside and watch some football. So,
yeah, that'll be fun.
Well, hopefully it isn't too bad. Hopefully you don't get snowed in, and definitely good luck with that. Keep us updated on that. And for Jamie McTaggart, I'm Jeremy Stover. Don't forget, once again, to go to sportsradiodetroit.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at sportsradiodet. And we'll see you next week.